In 2010, writer Dan Savage and his now husband Terry created a YouTube video aimed at LGBTQ kids who are facing harassment. Its message? It gets better.
However bad it is now, it gets better. And it can get great, and it can get awesome. Your life can be amazing, but you have to tough this period of it out, and you have to live your life so that you're around for it to get amazing, and it can and it will.
The It Gets Better project has now spread across the world and includes a book and a documentary. Dan Savage will be speaking tonight at the Scottsdale Center for the Performing Arts, and he joins me. And Dan, how has the It Gets Better project evolved over the time you've been doing it?
Well, when the project first started, it really kind of forced a cultural breakthrough. I don't want to use the term reckoning because the Me Too movement, I think, owns the word reckoning right now. It just forced people to acknowledge that LGBTQ kids existed. The culture used to like to pretend that queer people jumped fully formed out of the backs of gay bars at age 21. And what the It Gets Better movement videos, the campaign, when it went viral, rubbed in people's faces, made people confront the fact that LGBT youth existed and many were suffering and some were in so much pain that they were killing themselves. What makes the It Gets Better project such a valuable resource is it really it took all the sort of hard-earned wisdom and perspective of so many queer adults and put it in a place where queer youth can access that, survival strategies, coping mechanisms, what I said to my parents, what I did to get out of a bad situation, how I made it better for myself. You know, a kid who's growing up queer, lesbian, gay, bi, trans, rarely has lesbian, gay, bi, trans parents or role models or even family members that they know of. A kid who's bullied because of his race or her faith goes home to parents of the same race, same faith, who can share with them their own coping mechanism. And what the It Gets Better project now is it's a resource for queer kids all over the world.
Are you finding that the stories you're hearing from LGBTQ kids are different now than they were when you first started this project?
It's a paradox. I even said, you know, in 2010 when we started it, it's sort of the best of times, worst of times to be a queer kid growing up because you've got supportive parents and there's a gay straight alliance at your school and you've got some friends who've got your back. There's almost never been a better time than right now to be a queer kid growing up. But if you are growing up with homophobic or transphobic family, being bullied at home, if you are going to a school where there's no GSA and no anti-harassment policies, in a way that's never been a worse time to be a queer kid than right now, because it's almost impossible to hide. It's a real paradox, best of times, worst of times.
So how do you try to talk kids through sort of navigating that? Because as you said, there is much more awareness now of their existence and in some cases their needs and some of the issues they might be grappling with. But at the same time, as you say, it can be difficult to do that now.
You know, every kid needs to get advice that's really tailored for that kid in their particular circumstance. Some kids are in a position where they can come out and seek support and expect support in their community or from their own families. Other kids, coming out is very dangerous and could possibly derail or seriously diminish the rest of their lives or even end their lives. Sometimes the best advice you can give a vulnerable 15, 16-year-old, 14-year-old queer kid is to wait. And that might mean lying to your parents. And that's a really unfortunate scenario, a really unfortunate circumstance.
How do you measure the success of a project like the It Gets Better campaign? I mean, it seems like in some ways it's like trying to measure how many deaths seatbelts prevented. Like, it's tough to prove a negative.
Right.
So how do you go about trying to determine if you're doing the right thing, if it's working, if you need to tweak things?
You know, every time a queer kid takes his own life, some people jump up to say, see, it didn't work. The It Gets Better project or any effort. It is hard to measure who hasn't harmed themselves. Newspaper stories don't get written and obituaries don't get written for kids who didn't kill themselves. We're able to measure it because we hear from kids all the time who were helped by the project. We hear from kids all the time who credit the project for having saved their lives. That's anecdote, not data, but it's pretty powerful anecdote.
In some ways, it seems, as we kind of talked about when it comes to kids, things have gotten better for LGBTQ kids, but in some ways they haven't. I'm wondering if the same could be said for the entire LGBTQ movement overall.
Well, it's a kind of a dark time with the Trump administration in office, but we've had setbacks before. You know, the modern gay rights movement, a lot of people peg it to the Stonewall riots in 1969. And then, you know, 12 years later, the AIDS epidemic the AIDS crisis began. And that was a very dark time. And we came through it and came through that very dark time and emerged from it stronger and more cohesive and more powerful than we were as a community when we went into it. And I'm confident that the same is going to happen now.
I'm wondering how you think that becoming a parent and going through the process of parenting has changed you as a person and maybe changed the way you think about some of the stuff that you write and talk about.
Well, sometimes I'm self-conscious when I write because I do write about sex very explicitly, and now I have to do it knowing that my teenage son might pick up the paper and read my column.
That's not
although,
awkward.
You know, if you're a teenager and your parent is a sex writer, that's kind of kryptonite. You don't want to think about your parents in connection to sex at all. So my son goes out of his way to avoid my work. But I, you know, I had the kid because I was who I was. Having the kid didn't change me or turn me into somebody else or make me more conservative. When it comes to family and childbearing, I am pretty conservative, some would say. You know, one of the reasons I'm constantly harping on people not to divorce over a single infidelity is that, particularly if you have kids, I think that's a very silly reason to divorce, that we owe it to our kids to try as best we can to err on the side of staying together. It's in their interests, and you as adults have to suck up some pain and find it in your heart to forgive each other and move on, hopefully in a low conflict relationship. If it's a high conflict relationship or if there's abuse, emotional or physical, yeah, pull the plug. But knowing what we know about infidelity and how common it is, the default setting should be, how do you work through this rather than, oh, this is always and everywhere the end, relationship extinction level event.
Is that the kind of opinion that you would have had or maybe did have before sort of going through it yourself? Not the infidelity part, but having a kid and sort of understanding the concept of maybe putting a child's needs, another person's needs ahead of yours?
Absolutely. I wrote about this in my book, The Kid. When my husband and I were preparing to adopt, one of the conversations that I was having with him at the time was about cheating and if cheating happened, and he insisted that if I cheated on him, he would leave. And my response was, well, then we shouldn't have a kid together. Not because I was planning to or ever did cheat on him, but because that's the thing that happens. And if we're going to break up, if one of us cheats, odds are that it's going to happen to us and then we're going to break up. Like, I didn't ask my husband now husband, to agree to, like, you know, endure anything or put up with anything or ask that of myself. But just for the default setting to be, we would judge it on its merits and try to work through it rather than just saying in advance, if this ever happens, I will not forgive it. Because then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy and destroys relationships.
Dan Savage, thanks a lot for taking the time to chat. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you for the interview.
Dan Savage is a writer whose sex advice column is called Savage Love. He's also the co-creator with his husband of the It Gets Better project. He'll be speaking tonight at the Scottsdale Center for the Performing Arts.